Video is going to be about anti-Semitism, something unfortunately which has raised its ugly head again, has come to the fore with Kanye West mouthing off anti-Semitic tropes. And I think I must say at the outset, I'm very much a philo-Semite, and anti-Semitism is rebarbative. No one should be mistreated on the grounds of their ethnicity or faith. I often need to preface my remarks with that, actually, that should go without saying. But unfortunately, there's a lot of bigotry out there. Well, obviously, anti-Semitism is prejudice against Jewish people. And I know a Semite, properly so-called, could be an Arab as well as a Jew, you know, meant to be descendants of Shem in the Bible, one of the sons of Noah. But it's invariably used to mean anti-Jewish prejudice. Now, who is a Jew? And that's a thorny issue. Is being Jewish, is that something that's defined by faith? Or defined by ethnicity? You could use either, you could use both. I suppose I would use both. Well, Jewish people are obviously a very small minority. The broadest definition, Jewish people would be 1% of the world's population, maybe 0.2% at a narrower definition, because if you're going to be halakhically Jewish, it has to be through your mother's mother's mother and all the rest of that. And Orthodox Judaism is very reluctant to accept converts and so on. So partly just being a minority in every country, apart from Israel, and there's othering people have an almost natural, I don't say good, but natural dislike, distrust of outsiders, of anyone who's different. I mean, I'm very different because I'm a xenophile, being very well traveled, going out of my way to meet other people because I have such an inquiring mind. I'm exceptionally curious about ethnography, ethnicity, race, religion, language, cultural similarities and dissimilarities. Anyway, go back, obviously in the Bible records the clashes of the people of God, as they call themselves, with other groups of people. And, you know, Jewish people, like every other ethnic and religious groups, were not always in the right. Anyway, go to the Roman Empire, a time when polytheism was nearly universal, and the Roman emperor saying you have to pray to the deified emperors, and this the Jews would not do, the Jewish revolts. Anyway, finally the one in about 70 AD was quelled, and then the Jews were expelled from their homeland. That's the diaspora, the dispersal. They were scattered all over the Mediterranean world, but a lot of them stayed in really the Middle East, going to Iraq, Iran, even Jewish tribes in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Morocco, Libya. So these North African countries had significant Jewish communities well into the mid-20th century, but settling in Italy and Spain. And remember, when Spain became a Muslim country, they found much more toleration they did there than in Christendom. And when these days, in the Islamic world, generally speaking, there's greater anti-Semitism than there is in the non-Islamic world. Obviously, there were large Jewish communities in Germany. The King of Poland granted the Jews toleration. Many of them settled in Poland. And then when the Russian Empire conquered what was the Polish Empire, the Russians declared the Pale of Settlement. Jews could only dwell in what we now call Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, and Ukraine, seldom in Russia proper. And obviously, Jews traveled throughout the world. There was even a Jewish community in China, Kaifeng, tiny Jewish community in India. And then Jews went into the New World, what we now call the United States, places like Brazil, even Jamaica, Mexico, everywhere, really. So remember, Christians believe in replacement theology, that Christians were the new Jews. And as the Bible said that Jews could not lend money for interest to other Jews, so Christians said, okay, Christians are not permitted to lend money for interest to fellow Christians. They can lend it to non-Christians. But if 99% of the population of your country are Christians, there are very few people you can lend money to for interest. You could lend people money and not charge them interest. But Jews were forbidden all sorts of trades and professions. Often in Western Christianity, they couldn't be farmers, they couldn't engage in forestry, they couldn't join guilds because guilds were linked to membership of the state religion, which was the Catholic Church in Western Europe. They had to pray together to stay together. So one of the few things Jews could do was to lend money, or usury, as it was called. And of course, there's a lot of resentment. There's envy against some highly successful bankers, anyone who's good at finance. People want to scapegoat people. So when we pushed into this unpopular trade, that meant that anti-Semites had something to hang their prejudices on just by being different, calling Jews Christ killers, stuff like that, these blood libels, these absurd conspiracy theories, lies we get around, saying Jews mix their whatever leaven at the time of their unleavened bread at Passover with the blood of a Christian virgin. These absolutely absurd and very dangerous lies, and were very emotive and really get people going. So Jews were murdered every time a child would go missing, unfairly blamed for crimes they didn't commit, accused of everything, including bubonic plague, and I really mean that, accusing Jews of dying, causing the Black Death, as in bubonic plague, even though Jews died of this as well. In the Rhine Valley in Germany, many Jews were massacred. The time of the Crusades, when Christians were going off to the Middle East to fight against the Mohammedans, to reclaim the Holy Land, as Christians called it, saying, well, I can't afford to go off to the Holy Land to fight against the Saracens. How about these non-Christians amongst us? So murdering Jews for their faith, and so on. So partly it's religious anti-Semitism, specifically Christian thing. Now, I know Christian fundamentalists in the United States are often the keenest allies of Jewry and of Israel and so on, but often they're quite anti-Muslim, some of the Christian fundamentalists, but overlook the fact that actually the Christian world was more anti-Semitic than the Muslim world well into the 20th century. And then if I fast forward, really, in the late 18th century, from the French Revolution onwards, anti-Semitic laws were gradually relaxed in various European countries. Napoleon Bonaparte, yes, though he's very anti-black, he was actually a Philo-Semite, and said they mustn't be mistreated, set up some Sanhedrin for the Israelites, as he called them, and in many of the German states which he briefly conquered, he decreed there'd be no more anti-Semitic discrimination. And the last German states were still discriminating against Jews by law until 1848, the 1848 revolutions. But the mid-19th century, Jews were able to come out of the ghetto. Remember, ghetto means foundry in Italian. There was a foundry in that area of Venice where Jews had to live, often they had to live in certain parts of the city, walled off, gates locked at night, only allowed out in the daytime, very, very overcrowded. I've been into them in Prague and Venice and elsewhere, only permitted to engage in certain trades, but had a very close-knit community, these shtetl in Eastern Europe, as in Yiddish, like the little city, and had in some ways a thriving Jewish life, being Talmudic scholars. From the 19th century, be able to access secular education in schools which had been previously closed to Jews, were exclusively for Christians, likewise universities, and really embrace those educational opportunities with fervor. And as so much of classical education involved reading dead languages, acquiring fluency in those, mastering various abstruse texts, well, that was the same skill set that Jews had been honing, studying their religious texts as you had to master if you're going to do well in classics, as in Latin and ancient Greek, and then do very well in the professions, the legal profession, medicine, and so on. And of course, there's jealousy. Like Gore Vidal said, if someone succeeds a little of me dies, I hate that person because he succeeded to what I haven't succeeded. So, and then just false accusing Jews of being unhygienic. That's one of the common things about racism or religious bigotry. Accuse a group of being sexually immoral, being too clever, being too stupid, that could vary, or violent or cowardly, it could be either one of those ones, too rich or too poor, just foreign. But one of the things is always a constant, it's always called them unhygienic. Apparently that provokes the strongest emotional reaction. You'll see Tucker Carlson saying that immigrants from Latin America are making America dirtier. That's why people talk about ethnic cleansing, saying they're unhygienic and things like that, likening people to rats and so on, if you're racist against that group, dehumanizing that group. Of course, anti-Semitic cartoons come out claiming that Jews commune with the devil and so on, which is a rich irony considered Christianity is really just plagiarism of Judaism. And some of the earliest Christians were Jewish, or Jesus Christ, if he had, must have had human DNA, Christians would believe, from his mother. His only physical parent was his mother. Therefore, his DNA was exclusively Jewish. And that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, therefore had a human body. And Jesus Christ was indeed circumcised, we're told in the Bible. And that's the one part of his body that stayed on earth. Yeah, you guessed right, the Catholic Church had the holy foreskin for pilgrims to go and worship at. But there were several of them around Europe, which is the real one, I don't know. What else about Jews and Christians? So there was that, and then... Okay, Karl Marx, of Jewish ancestry, but brought up as a Christian, he invented communism, but then anti-communists were sometimes anti-Semites, they blamed Jews for this and things like that. Anti-Semites are often people who are real lunatics, and they have many contradictory beliefs. There's a lot of doublethink, accusing Jews of being most right-wing capitalists and the most left-wing communists, or anything like that, or of inventing psychoanalysis because Sigmund Freud was Jewish, but psychoanalysis is actually a good thing, or anything they didn't like in music, like in jazz or whatever. People who are anti-Enlightenment often are anti-Semitic as well. So for all sorts of reasons, there's the pseudo-scientific racism, or any liberal or left-wing nostra that anti-Semites are against. Now, not everybody on the right is anti-Semitic, by no means. Obviously, there's some conservatives who are, philo-Semitic as well. So these are some of the reasons. Obviously, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, written by the Tsarist secret police, this forgery about 1900, published in Paris. So the weak-minded people, those who think they're very brave and very clever to believe these ludicrous conspiracy theories, they go along with it as well. So feeble-minded people are easily persuaded that there's some vast conspiracy trying to take over the world. So I know these things are preposterous, as it would seem risible, but unfortunately widely believed, or that there was some master plan to start the First World War in 1907. Some Jews planned that. I mean, despite the lack of evidence, and indeed evidence to the contrary, that Jews suffered horrifically at the war, why would they obviously do that? So there are all sorts of reasons why people are anti-Semitic. So that's it. Unfortunately, something that persists amongst white supremacists, even though most Jews are white. But that doesn't stop them. When would logic get in the way of this sort of insane and imbecilic bigotry? Unfortunately, a lot of the Muslim world, well, things like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion are really believed, partly because of Zionism. Now, you could critique Zionism and not be anti-Semitic, but there are some anti-Zionists who really are anti-Semitic. Really, those are the reasons. People wanting to find someone to blame for, say, German defeat in the First World War, for the Great Depression, general resentment at high finance, despite the fact that the great majority of bankers, stockbrokers, and so on are not Jewish. Nevertheless, saying that it's because of Jewish people, those who dislike Hollywood or some aspects of American popular culture, they'll say that that they'll be anti-Semites as well. Crackpots like Alex Jones, those against the Bilderberg group, will say it's like this. But if the Jews are so masterful, how come one third of them got wiped out in only 3 years in the Second World War? But anyway, proof to the contrary is inadmissible in the mind of such people. So that's it. These are some of the reasons I've just adumbrated for anti-Semitism, which is, of course, is a foul cancer, should be extirpated, and usually is something which is comorbid with various other mind viruses. So I would it were that it disappeared completely. Unfortunately, it's very unlikely to vanish. It's something which is resilient, is very difficult to root out. Well, thank you for watching my video. Goodbye.